Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner, and today I'm joined by Nick Harris.
Hello.
Hi, Nick. And today we have special guest Praveen. Praveen, would you like to tell everybody who you are and a little about yourself?
Sure. Hey, my name is Praveen Vijayaraghavan. I'm a senior program manager with the Windows Server and System Center team. I've been with Microsoft for now 6-7 years, and I'm very excited to talk about a new service which we just went live with, Azure Site Recovery.
Fantastic. Well, we're excited to learn about it, so why don't we jump right into it and have you show us what's up.
Yeah. Okay. So before we show some demos, I'll just give you a quick overview of what Azure Site Recovery is. So this is a brand new service which we just released. It allows customers to replicate their virtual machines for business continuity and disaster recovery purposes. Okay. So you have a service which is running in Azure, which both orchestrates and protects. In the version one of this feature, we allowed customers to protect their virtual machines from their primary data center to their secondary data center.
Right.
And Azure Site Recovery as a service kind of protected and orchestrated this entire workflow. Great value add for customers. Think of 50, 60 nodes, having to go to each machine, right-clicking on virtual machines, protecting it. All of this is taken care of by Azure Site Recovery.
Okay.
In the second version, which is we went to a public preview a couple of months back, allowed customers to bring their virtual machines to Azure. So they did not have to invest in a secondary data center, no capital cost, no operational cost. Instead, they just protect their virtual machines to Azure.
Right.
And if the primary data center goes down, they just go to the Azure web page, right-click, fail over the VM, and you're up and going.
So in just a couple of clicks, they can basically take VMs running in their on-premise data center and get them as a into the cloud, so they've got this disaster recovery solution.
Absolutely.
Right there.
It's disaster recovery never got simpler. At the end of the day, you don't want customers and administrators to run around in the event of a disaster. You want to make things very simple for them. Couple of clicks, they should be going. And that's the value add of this service.
Awesome.
And then the last service in there is Backup Vault. I think we'll do a separate show on that, but what is that?
Azure Site Recovery is primarily around the DR capabilities.
Yep.
We also have a backup service called Azure Backup Service, which allows you to backup your physical as well as VHDs to Azure.
Okay.
It has a bunch of functionalities which we should cover in another session.
Okay, great. Excellent.
Let's start with a quick demo. I think one of the common things which you've heard from customers as well as the field is that, hey, there are no channel line videos, so here I am all the way from India to do a channel line video.
Just for this video.
Just
it's
for
very,
this video.
It's very nice of you to come.
We appreciate you coming all this way for this.
So once you sign into your Azure page, you'll have to click on Recovery Services.
Right.
Click on Plus New. Pick the Site Recovery Vault. This was the other service which we were talking about.
Okay.
We'll cover sometime later.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a fancy name. Come on, guys.
Cloud Cover.
Yeah, Cloud Cover.
Cloud Cover. Let's call it 2, just in case somebody else has taken it.
Okay. Might be Nick.
You need to specify a location, and you create a vault. A vault is kind of a logical abstraction of all the virtual machines which you're going to bring over to Azure.
Okay.
Let me also show you how the VMM view looks like. So this is my on-prem VMM, which is managing these three physical servers, HRM ER1, ER2, ER3. It has a couple of clouds. This one is already set up, so let me just show you something which has not been set up. The first step for setting up the service is you create a certificate on-prem and upload the public key of the certificate. This helps the service know who's it that it's talking to.
Okay.
So let's run the MakeCert tool, easiest tool.
Yeah.
It creates a certificate. It's been created in the downloads folder. Let's pick this. And copy it over. This is a service, the vault which you've just created. You will see over here a link which says Manage Certificate.
Okay.
Click on Manage Certificate. Select the certificate which we just created, the public key. And you're done. The certificate gets uploaded. Now, the second step towards this is running the DR installer. So if you look at the web page, a quick glance over here tells that we need to install two agents. There is one agent which needs to be installed on the VMM server, mm-hmm. and there is another agent which needs to be installed on all the Hyper-V servers. Mm-hmm. So the first step, we will install the agent on the VMM server, and that's called the Microsoft Azure Site Recovery Provider. It's already been downloaded, so let me just go there. Double-click on this.
What's this agent do specifically?
So the agent is used to interact between on-prem and the portal. So if you initiate any workflow in the portal, you need an agent to consume it on on-prem. So we have a job infrastructure which this agent has built, and it's pretty easy to use. So we don't have a proxy. It's a pretty easy setup. So you would need to select the certificate which you just created.
Okay.
And if everything goes well, okay, it shows up the vault which we just created on Azure.
Okay.
You would need to give a vault key which is associated to the vault. If you click on Manage Key, it gives you a description of what the vault key is. Mm-hmm. It ensures the integrity of all the operations. Select the key. We also allow customers to encrypt data. One of the questions which we get asked oftentimes is, hey, I'm sending lots of data to Azure. Mm. Is it protected? With the recent spate of attacks, the first question which people ask is, public cloud encryption, do you guys have a story? So we have a very easy story with respect to encryption. Encryption is done on-prem by the client. The customer owns the key. Mm-hmm. At no point does the key ever come to Azure.
Okay.
We process only the encrypted data.
Right.
Only when the customer decides to bring fail over the virtual machine in Azure, we ask the customer for the key so that we can decrypt it.
Right.
But at no other point is the key stored with Azure. So even if Microsoft wanted to get access to the customer's data, it's not possible.
Great.
The key is stored on-prem, never leaves the customer's premises.
Okay.
Let's give a fancy name, Cloud Connect. And register.
Okay.
So this registers the on-prem VMM server with the vault which we just created. If you give it a few minutes, it will finish the registration.
And what's the process that it's doing at the moment in terms of it? It registers, but is it going to extract, you know, what clouds you've got set up in System Center VMM and register them on Azure so you can see them, or what's the?
It's a good question. So all the metadata, as we call it, the cloud information and all that, should now start showing up in the portal.
Okay.
So if you give it a couple of minutes and hit the refresh button a few times, you should start seeing.
I think it's, we've got Bob, so we'll have some movie magic here for the minute or so that we wait.
It just takes a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You're sending metadata to Azure, that's a pretty big thing. So.
Yeah.
So as you can see, these are the three clouds which make up my on-premises. And if I start my VMM instance, you'll see the same three clouds. Now let's go back to the portal, which is where most of the fun is. Let's start with the configuration. So to protect a VM to Azure, you would need to configure the cloud for protection. So let's do a quick walkthrough of what that means.
Okay.
Once you click on configure the cloud, you get to choose the target.
Okay.
So this was the thing which I was talking about in the beginning, where customers can replicate between their primary data center and their secondary data center, which is signified by the first option, where the target is another VMM server.
Yeah.
Or the second option, which we just went preview with, which is your target is Azure.
Okay.
So let's pick Azure because that's a brand new thing. And
one quick question there,
sorry.
Where you say where that dropdown was VMM, that was your on-prem System Center instance, right?
No. So the on-prem.
Or is that a different data center?
Right. So this is your on-prem System Center instance, which is made up of three clouds. Now you're configuring the cloud for protection,
right.
You click on configure. and it is asking you what the target is.
Mm-hmm.
Should it be another VMM server? Should it be Azure?
Yep.
So in this case, we're going to say, hey, I want it to be Azure.
Yep.
We select a storage account, which is specified, which is pre-created in Azure. So this technology is worth talking about simply because we replicate all the virtual machines as well as the set of changes to Azure storage account. There are a lot of competing solutions out there which require you to continuously run a virtual machine instance in Azure to kind of chew on this data.
Right.
We don't require anything of that sort.
Okay.
We have a lot of PaaS instances in the background which kind of munch on this data and create points to which you can fail over.
Mm-hmm.
So all you need to specify is a storage account.
Okay.
This is a storage account which you own, the customer owns. We don't have any access to it other than writing data to it.
Okay.
You can specify the copy frequency. This is pretty cool in the fact that we can replicate to Azure as low as 30 seconds.
Okay.
So this means that if you've rightly provisioned your environment, if a disaster strikes your primary site, and you bring up your VM on Azure, you stand to lose only 30 seconds worth of data, which is as good as it gets.
Yep.
And it's taking, instead of taking like the whole VM, it's just taking deltas pretty much?
Right. The first time around, we take the entire VM
because
we need a reference copy. But after that, we just keep track of the changes which keep happening to the VM.
Great.
And as low as 30 seconds, we keep sending it across.
Very cool.
And you have encryption, so everything is encrypted. You have a point to failover after that.
Right.
Very cool.
You can retain multiple recovery points. That is, sometimes failing over to the latest point may not work. Think of a virus attack which has happened. You want to go back in time.
Yep.
Failing over to the latest point may not help. So you might want to choose.
I think there's no person who does not want to travel back in time for one thing or another.
Right. There's always some reason to do that. And you can also choose application consistent snapshots. So this is a functionality by which we quiesce all the writes which happen to the workload on-prem so that you get an app consistent copy. By default, all the copies which are there are crash consistent. And by choosing this frequency, maybe it's an hour, maybe once every 2 hours, you take an app consistent copy.
Okay.
And once you're done, you save. And that's it. Your cloud is now ready to receive replication traffic. You've configured your cloud for protection.
Mm-hmm.
So this will just take 20, 30 seconds to complete.
So is this going to copy that VHD up to Azure immediately?
No, not yet. Oh. So right now, we've just configured the cloud for protection.
Yep.
The cloud consists of virtual machines.
Mm-hmm.
We need to enable each of these virtual machines for protection.
Okay.
A cloud could consist of, say, 15, 20, pick a number.
Okay.
But maybe you
100.
Want to protect only five of them or 10 of them.
Okay.
So this option, once
again. Are there constraints on numbers?
No, there's no constraints on numbers. The billing model is based on the number of virtual machines you want to protect.
Yep.
So based on that, we just bill you.
Okay.
So we've configured a cloud for protection. Now let's pick another cloud which has been configured and select a few VMs for replication. So once you select the cloud, you need to click on the Add Virtual Machines, and it shows the VMs which can be protected. Just select them, click OK, and you're done.
Okay.
Your VMs would start replicating. So to your earlier question on whether we've started transferring the VHDs, it's at this point that we start sending the VHDs across.
Okay, great.
So that's the replication piece. Very powerful, very easy to use. Just a few clicks, and you have a good BCDR story within a few clicks.
So that looks pretty easy. I can't imagine what it would be like to do it without it, because I've never done it before. But even I could figure this out before the show. It took me a lot longer than you have.
Uh-huh.
But one question for you that I think is worth sort of talking about a little bit for people who are considering this. What are the constraints on the VMs on-prem in terms of, you know, what criteria or constraints do they need to fit to be able to be, you know, replicated and actually spun up in Azure?
Okay, so that's a good question. We keep hearing that from our customers in field. As a product, we don't have limitations on the kind of VMs which you can protect. But you've got to remember that Azure is an evolving platform.
Mm-hmm.
And as of today, there are a few restrictions on the kind of virtual machines which can be brought up.
Right.
Some of them are the operating system which runs in the VM.
Mm-hmm.
Azure supports only three variants of Windows Server operating systems plus a few Linux variants. So you have to be sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm.
You can technically bring any virtual machine, but Azure supports only a subset of these operating systems.
Okay.
That's one. Azure also has restrictions on the size of the OS disk.
Right.
Currently, it is 127 GB and nothing more than that.
Okay.
And any data disks which are attached to your VM, they can't be more than a TB, which usually works fine for a lot of enterprises, given that you can attach up to 16 such data disks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty healthy limit.
Yeah.
So size is primarily the set of restrictions and OS variation. Other than that, there are certain things which Azure has. For example, you can't attach more than one network adapter to your VM.
Right.
As of today. So we don't let you, we don't fail the workflow, but just warn you saying that, hey, watch out for the fact that Azure doesn't support it. But otherwise, these are your hard failures.
Okay. So what are some of the how's the network failover work? Like you may have some sort of subnet or network that your VMs are operating within.
Mm-hmm.
Can you set that up on Azure and have that fail across as well seamlessly, such that it's sort of similar? What's the...
So Azure Site Recovery has a great tie-in story with the networking pieces. So let's take a look at that. If you click on the Resources tab, you can select the Networks option. This is my on-prem VMM, and this is my target location, which is Azure. First time around, when you come and click on this, you will find your source network, which is all the things which is listed on your left-hand side, which is called as Corp in my case, and no target network. So you have to click on the map option as you can see an unmap right now.
Okay.
But when you click on the map option, you can map your VMM network to an Azure virtual network.
Okay.
What does mapping mean? Any VM which is part of the on-prem VMM network, when it fails over in Azure, will be part of the Azure virtual network.
Okay.
And once you're done, all you need to do is to go back, select your virtual machine. And in the properties, you'll see that the network, this is my VMM network, is mapped to my Azure virtual network, and you're good to go. You also have the flexibility to choose the size of the VM.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some smarts by which we say that we have detected that you have so many CPU cores and so much RAM. We think you should be running an extra small or small VM.
Okay.
But if the user wants to pick some other size, they can just do it. And with just a couple of clicks, you hit the save button and you're done.
Okay, great.
Okay. So getting the VMs to Azure is one part. The fun part really starts is when you try to fail over the VM.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have some powerful workflows such as test failover, which allows you to fail over the virtual machines in Azure without actually disrupting your application traffic.
Okay.
This is super useful because it helps you understand whether you've set up things properly and also whether your virtual machines come properly.
Okay.
Along with it, we have a notion of recovery plans. So imagine you have 50 VMs. You really don't want to go around selecting one VM at a time and saying failover, failover. It lets you collate all these VMs into a nice recovery plan. You can insert manual actions if it's required. Do a bunch of fancy steps.
Right.
So I'll just show you how a recovery plan looks like. So this is a sample recovery plan which has been set up.
Could we just see the process of navigating into a recovery plan for those who may need to create one?
Sure. So if you go to the main page, you have an option called recovery plans. Just click on it. Click on the create button. Give it a name. Say sample recovery plan. And select the VMs which need to be part of the recovery plan, and you're done.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. So I have a complex recovery plan which is set up for the purpose of this demo, which is made up of 7 virtual machines, which is split across 4 groups.
Okay.
Groups, if you think of groups, G1, G2, G3, and G4, in this case, 4 groups, all the virtual machines which make up a group are failed over together.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But group 2 is not picked up till group 1 completes. Yep. So you get both serial behavior as well as parallelism built in.
Right.
And based on how your deployment is, for example, you might want to bring your ADDNS first before you bring any of your application tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to bring up your SQL database first before you bring up your application.
Yeah.
So you can group things together. And if you have, say, a farm of SQL DBs, bring all of them together before bringing up the front tier.
And of course, the tear down and set up are reversed, I'd imagine. So if you If you're failing over, it takes down web first, web tier, stops traffic coming in, then takes down SQL, for instance. Mm-hmm. And then as you're pulling it back up, it would do the reverse, would it? SQL and then web? Is that how the groups and ordering works here? Or
the groups and ordering is more a reflection of what is it that you want to do when a disaster strikes. So remember, yeah, this product can be used when a disaster has struck,
right,
and you just want to bring up your virtual machines.
Right.
Which is usually the primary use case.
Okay.
Or the other thing is, look, I want to bring down the environment gracefully, yep, and then bring it up here.
Okay.
The notion of groups pretty much goes through whatever is specified. So if you say that in group one, shut down the VMs, it will, yep, shut down.
Okay.
And it doesn't do a reverse. The way you specify is the way you get.
I see. Okay. Mm. Good to understand.
Right. So in this group, you have a virtual machine which is started, and then we have inserted a script which checks for DC connectivity. You can edit the script. It's simple partial scripts which you can insert. This is residing on your on-prem VMM server.
Okay.
Pretty easy to execute and create. And you can start your file server, which is signified by FS. Then you have a bunch of DBs which come up. And once these DBs come, you can also run an accessibility check. Again, a script which you can author easily, make it part of the VMM server, make it available, and you're done.
Okay.
And when you execute this recovery plan, all you need to do is to go here, select between test failover or failover,
mm-hmm,
and select the recovery plan which you want to execute, and the VMs start coming. So instead of the 7 VM setup, I have a far simpler setup where I have a recovery plan which is made up of just 3 VMs.
Okay.
And we're just going to do a test failover of that. So when you do a test failover, you don't want to make the VMs part of the production network, because right, then you'll start running into name resolution issues. What is the name it should come up in?
Mm-hmm.
So we recommend that you run it in an isolated network.
Okay.
So select a test virtual network which I had created. You click on OK, and you just got to wait. It takes around 5-10 minutes perhaps, yep, for the VMs to fire up in Azure. And once the VMs come up in Azure, you can just connect to it as if it was just another VM.
Awesome.
Great.
So while the test failover is happening, it's worth calling out some of the gotchas which you need to remember when you're failing over VMs to Azure.
Mm-hmm.
When your VM is connected to CorpNet, say, or Microsoft CorpNet, and you try to fail over the VMs in Azure, MSIT has IPsec policies, mm-hmm, which prevent you from connecting to the VM over the public IP address. Every VM in Azure has 2 IP addresses. One is the public IP address, mm-hmm, and the other is the private IP address. So any VM which is connected to CorpNet, you need to ensure that you have the right site-to-site connection set up with the Azure virtual network. And with that, you will be able to access using the private IP address.
Right.
Trying to access it over the public IP address, usually the connection is terminated, mm-hmm, because of CORP policies.
Okay. And that's probably consistent and common across many enterprises.
So. Exactly. A lot of enterprises are not going to let you connect to a VM from a public IP address.
Yeah.
It's like connecting to your machine from home, mm-hmm, over its IP address,
yeah,
not allowed. So it can only connect using a VPN, yeah, connection.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the same thing you would need to do with the site-to-site VPN connection.
Okay.
And Azure has announced multiple cool things in the recent TechEd, yeah, on multi-site VPN and all that.
Right.
And it just works. We also work well with ExpressRoute. This is a feature which has got a lot of attention in press and with the customers on how you can optimize sending the data all the way to Azure. So when you have GBs and TBs of data to send, and if you only have, say, a 20 Mbps upload link speed,
yeah,
it's going to take forever. Instead, if you use ExpressRoute, traffic gets routed through the ExpressRoute, yeah, channel, and we send the data very quickly. And the best part, both the technologies just work together.
Right.
There is no extra configuration which is required. Things just work out of the box.
Okay.
Right.
So as you can see, the first VM has already come up. It's running.
Okay.
And similarly, you'll find all the other VMs come up. They will typically be part of a single cloud service, which will have the same name as the recovery plan, and we suffix it with hyphen test.
When you're doing test failover. So if this was a real failover, we press the button.
Just the recovery plan name will appear. all the VMs will be part of the same cloud service of the recovery plan, and that's your single publicly routable IP address.
Awesome. So let's say this is cutting over for real, and I've got that recovery plan with the multiple groups that it's pulling me out and bringing up. Mm-hmm. You mentioned a little bit around networks there. Mm-hmm. Perhaps one of the manual steps at the end of that failover would be, you know, DNS or something like that.
Correct. So as your site recovery does not update your DNS server, so these machines, for example, are connected to CorpNet. So within 15, 20 minutes, the DNS servers would get updated with the new IP address.
Okay.
Clients would need to flush their DNS and should be able to connect.
Okay.
So if you noticed, given that we just done a test failover, the virtual machines continue to replicate. Their health shows to be normal. In fact, it shows the last synchronized time being less than 30 seconds away. So that's the beauty of test failover. Your on-prem environments continue to run. Replication goes uninterrupted. And you have a great way of validating whether when you actually do a failover one day, whether it would work or not work.
And so what would we expect to see if it was a like the real thing, the real deal, the failover? Would we see these starting to being pulled down in the same groups that were in the recovery plan?
So if you are doing a planned failover, we have two kinds of failover. One is called a planned failover. The other is called the unplanned failover.
Okay.
This is over and above the third option of test failover.
Okay.
A planned failover is one where you know that, hey, I need a reason to shut down my virtual machines on-prem. Right. Perhaps migrate all of them to Azure. So there we would shut down one VM at a time based on whatever is specified in the groups, and then bring up these VMs on Azure. If it is an unplanned failover, your primary site is anywhere down. You don't have access to it, and hence you're bringing up the VMs in Azure.
Okay.
So this is really great. What about the, what does the pricing look like for this?
Pricing is pretty attractive. If you take the two solutions, which is replicating between data centers and replicating to Azure, we have a different pricing scheme. So when you replicate between the two data centers and when you use the service to orchestrate it, it costs $16 per month per virtual machine. When you're replicating to Azure, and given that we're still in preview, we charge $27 per month per VM. If you look at the $27, what you're getting in return is also 100 GB of Azure storage for your VMs.
Okay.
Plus the fact that, hey, you haven't invested anything on a secondary data center. No power, no cooling, no IT admin cost, all of that is sucked up into this. And when you fail over a virtual machine, you will pay for the running cost of the virtual machine. And Azure has different pricing based on the size of the virtual machine. But to Azure site recovery, you just continue to pay $27 per month.
Great, and that's obviously going to be a huge savings over, I don't know, you know, building my own data center out somewhere.
Look at the real estate cost. Look at the cost in the
loss
power bills that you're going to get.
Loss of business.
You have an IT admin who needs to supervise this. This is a PaaS instance that's multi-tenanted. It scales up, scales down. Microsoft worries about whether the service is going to be up and running. We have finance-backed SLAs of 99.9%. You don't need to worry about anything at all. Things just work out of the box.
Great.
Is the SLA covering the preview period on just the site to Azure or outside of that?
The SLAs cover both whether you're replicating between data centers or when you're replicating to Azure.
Okay.
If there is a huge load from customers, say we suddenly get hundreds of customers in a single shot, we are responsible for making sure the service is up and running.
Okay.
Think of it as using, say, your live ID when signing into your email account. You don't have to ever worry about whether there are enough physical servers or not, or enough virtual machines. We worry about all that. We take care of it.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
And we'll make sure the link to this page shows up down underneath the video.
Okay. So as you can see now, the virtual machines are up and running in Azure. Mm-hmm. You can just connect to it, TS to it, whatever be the needs of your environment, and you're good to go.
Awesome. I think that that was great. It's certainly quite more straightforward than when I tried to do it because I didn't understand some of the underlying technologies. But that's a great overview. One thing that was really useful to me that may be worth showing people is if you go to the top level of recovery services and select the quick start option, that provides and if you click into say cloud cover and select the cloud with the lightning bolt to the left there. This provides sort of the step-by-step instructions of what you've sort of done here today.
Okay.
And you know, if you're trying to reproduce what you've done here, this will tell you how to do it.
Cool. Right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Praveen. We really appreciate it. This is really awesome to see how easy it is. Now I know that even Nick can take care of it.
There you go.
do you have like a Twitter handle or anything like that people want to get a hold of you or ask questions about this?
So we blog about the feature. You can check out the virtualization blog or the Azure blog page. Okay. Search for Azure Site Recovery. You're bound to find one of the blogs.
All right, we'll make sure the links
are down there. Azure Site Recovery right there. Yeah. Perfect.
And did you have Twitter or anything if someone needs to reach out to you? No.
Okay. They can reach out to my email address if you want.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you just do one of these and it will appear.
Yeah. My email ID is prvijay@microsoft.com.
Okay.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Great. Well, thanks again for coming on. Everybody, thanks for watching. As always, make sure you follow us at the Cloud Cover Show and check us out on Facebook, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.